Gente non c'è capo, se va la processione, che cammina piano piano, non è morto nessuno, non è osante nessuno, non si sente la voce e non suona la campana, e intanto cuore aspetta.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Sunday edition. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you here with me today. Today's date, of course, is April 22nd, 2007, Sunday. I'm going to talk to you for a couple of minutes here at the beginning of this broadcast about French election results. It is 8:26 here in France, and the first tour of the election process for president in France has just been settled. The results are not good, not in our favor. I'm worried about what this means for the world, for France, for myself and my freedom. The same forces that are at work in the United States are at work here. The population of the Jewish community in France is 1%, but they are virtually every element within the controlling mechanisms of everything in this country, including a presidential election and the corporate structure, everything, the banks, everything here. And this round of elections put forward a man named Nicolas Sarkozy, who was a very close friend of George Bush, has been working closely with Israel, and he is considered Israel's best chance in Europe. That was written in the Jerusalem Post, I believe. And his candidature has turned him into the front runner now. He received 30% of the vote for the first round. Now, if you don't understand what the French election system goes, there are a number of candidates that run for president each a 5-year cycle. It's a 5-year term. But first of all, it's the most powerful presidency in the world, and I'm going to give you not powerful by size of France, but by its rights over the public. It has more powers given over to the executive than any other nation in the world. And the simple truth of the matter is that the 11 candidates that were running for president, only two of them go to the next round. And so the next round of elections will be between Marie Ségolène Royal, and Nicolas Sarkozy. Now, Ségolène Royal is a socialist. And of course, Nicolas Sarkozy is from the right. They say he's from the UMP, but I think he's as radical right as you can get, ladies and gentlemen. In that his draconian measures as the director of the police department here are what fostered and fomented all of the rioting that you've been seeing on your televisions for the last 6 or 8 months. And he was the interior minister, which controls every police force in the country. Now, he got 30% and Ségolène got 25%. Now, if you take a look at the other candidates who are dropping out, their support is going to migrate to places. And by the way, the highest turnout percentage-wise in the history of France, only 15% of the people who could vote didn't. So that means 85% of the French public came out to vote in this election, meaning that this was an extraordinarily important election for this country. However, the media was clearly behind this guy Sarkozy. Of course, no surprises there, because all of the Jewish media conglomerates that are involved in running Europe were pushing his candidacy. And in fact, during the campaign, there were a lot of people in the public starting to point it out, and they backpedaled a little bit and gave a little more time to some of the other candidates, because it was pretty obvious that they were really promoting him. And, you know, interestingly enough, on the placards that they have in front of every polling station, they put a photograph of each candidate. And so they had 11 of them out in front of all the different polling stations, usually at a school or at a town hall or at a Salon Palais Vallon or quelque chose, something like that. And what happened here was that Ségolène Royal was fixed in the middle field of these 11, barely able to notice her. And her photograph was in black and white. And if you drove by, her photograph clearly did not stand out. Nicolas Sarkozy was placed in the first position in the place where you would notice best. And then when you find out that the company that was in charge of placing these posters around the country, had the contract, was a company called Clearstream. Nicolas Sarkozy was caught and embroiled in a criminal investigation where he was involved in crimes against, involved with Clearstream committing crimes of donating money through their corporation. And so it already smells like fish to me. The whole thing stinks. And the simple fact of the matter is, you know, as France goes, and Merkel is already bought and paid for over in Germany, if France and Germany gang up to support the Zionist agenda, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a mess, because that's another 450 million people that there'll be absolutely no voice for people trying to fight back. On top of that, the European Union has just passed a law saying that every country in Europe is now going to have the Holocaust denial legislation put into their codified into their national laws, where you are imprisoned mandatory for 3 years for declaring the Holocaust untrue. Now, I've never done that here in France for several reasons. One, I don't want to spend 3 years in a prison cell, because goodness only knows what happens to you when you end up in a prison cell and they hate you. They could string you up and say you committed suicide or whatever else. I don't also talk about it because I have never looked into it for clear reasons of not wanting to have to be forced into an opinion. And I have a lot of detractors about saying stuff like that. But you know what? You're not facing 3 years in prison in the United States for saying stuff about it. And here you are. And so it's been something that, you know, I've stayed away from the research. I've stayed away from the discussion of it. And I leave that element, and it's a big element, I leave that element to others to look into. Certainly, we've had questions about why certain people over time have been outed and jailed for these crimes. And when you look at them, they don't talk about other very important issues, yet they did talk about the Holocaust. They don't discuss 9/11 in some instances. They actually show up to places knowing they'll be arrested and placed in prison after a warrant was issued 18 years earlier, knowing full well that as soon as they stepped foot on that soil, they'd be arrested and jailed. It seemed like to us, when you look behind the veil, that there were a lot of reasons to think that this was a setup used to frighten people away from looking into these facts. Now, we wrote an article talking about Wake Up From Your Slumber. We sent them a little article. We put it up on the website about people trying to badmouth us with innuendo and slander. And they said that we call people crypto-Zionists, or we call them useful idiots, and we put them in camps with the Zionists. Now, we do that. We try to marginalize people. We've done it with Flacco. We did it with Skolnick and Lenny Bloom and many others, because what we discovered when we looked into these people was that they were not on the level, they weren't working for the truth, and they were getting nothing done except for muddying the waters of the effort that Eric, myself, Bolin, and others were putting together. And one of the people that Eric brought up in the last one of the last broadcasts we had with Bolin was my guest today. His name is Jimmy Condit. Jimmy has been involved in bringing out issues about this conspiracy for a better part of 25 years. And in fact, back in the late 70s, he was involved in putting things together. Eric made a comment saying that some of the people he was working with were oftentimes considered in the view of at least our research as not being productive in putting out the facts as we have been exposing them. And he asked a question saying that why is Jimmy not marginalizing these people? And Jimmy got in touch with me and said, well, you know, And of course, I defended Jimmy as a friend of mine, and the simple fact is I don't think Eric was attacking him as a friend. I think he was attacking his political stand on supporting certain people like Michael Piper, like Mark Glenn, like Fields, a gentleman named Joe Fields, and several others who we know have ties to Nazism, Hitlerism, and white supremacy. And we know that Morris Deese is behind those things 100%. And we wondered why these groups never really say very much. They never really get very much done. In fact, the French Connection in the 2.5 years of its operation has done more than those organizations have done in 20 years. And so one need wonder what the motivation is behind this, and I thought it would be a good idea to have my friend and collaborator on many issues, Jimmy Condit, with me, and possibly bring on Eric Hufschmidt a little later just to chew through some of these issues and give Jimmy an opportunity to discuss his relationship with these people and possibly if you know what the reasoning is behind it. Jimmy, are you with me?
Yes, and I always like to say Jim Condit Jr. because my dad, Jim Condit Sr., is still alive, and if the EU starts making a treaty with the United States to pull people out of America, then I want to make sure they go after my dad.
Hey, you know, stranger things have happened, Jim.
Please?
Stranger things could happen.
Well, and they also... And that's going both ways, because there's legislation sitting in the Congress right now, which Ted Pike, who's a guest on your show, is sounding the alarm about.
Yeah.
Which, if they can get it through, would start to do the same thing in reverse. And what I'm afraid they're going to try to do is say, oh, we got a treaty now. X country has a treaty with Y country, and you've been indicted in Y country, and you're in X country. So now, by treaty, we have to arrest you and send you over to trial. I think that's where they want to head, you know. But anyway.
Well, I think you might be right about that, and you know, this. Well, I mean, in history, let's talk about history for a moment. You know, Galileo and other people who went against the dogma of the day were often criminalized for putting forward an opinion.
The opinion that was put forward was oftentimes
self-evident to most people of the time, but it was a truth that people dared not speak. We're in a situation like that today, again, and I don't want to talk about that issue, but I do want to talk about the fact that if, and of course the laws that they use to keep people marginalized, Jimmy, are very nebulous. They're non-specific so that they can use them in a very broad way. Isn't that not true?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. We've seen that going back to the 80s when they criminalized picketing in front of one of these abortion chambers. Or many of them, and you couldn't tell what the law was. I spent 12 hours in jail for I was standing in one of the so-called legal spots. They still arrested me, and they were letting the usual faction, the judge actually issued a rule where they could point to the police and tell them who to arrest. So naturally, since we were helping to bring a few hundred people before their building, then they pick me up. But no, they're very nebulous, and then you go into court and you're trying to figure out, well, where's the lines here, even though it's ridiculous? Do we want to follow these lines, you know? And can we stay within the lines just to keep out of trouble? And you can never figure it out. It's just like a communist country, because it was like as they said, sometimes they'd have the verdict and then the trial. And that's what they're trying to move to in Western Europe and in the United States, which they...
Well, and you know, the due process today is being manipulated. We talked the other day about what's happening to Boleyn, and of course, when something that would save you from prosecution is destroyed, evidence that would prove your innocence is destroyed, that should be, in any normal court of law, an immediate dismissal of the charges, because your ability to defend yourself would have been destroyed. And yet, in Christopher Boleyn's case, they destroyed a videotape that they had of the entire incident, and he's not able to get that dismissed because he's in front of a guy named Reichman, who you and I both know has got an agenda up there in Chicago, and it looks like a miscarriage of justice is already well underway.
I am very concerned about Christopher Boleyn because it has all the earmarks of a government hit job, and of course there's still good parts of all these governments. I'm sure there's good people in France that are in the government, but we're worried about the criminal part of the government, those places where criminals and malefactors have gotten official positions. official positions, and I'm very worried. The judge there appears to be a Zionist out of the gate. I don't believe for a minute in the United States that they randomly pick these judges. They claim they do. I've never seen a case like Christopher Bolin is being persecuted in where you get anything other but a hardcore judge who's either overtly on the other side or is blackmailed. And when I say blackmailed, I mean they start doing things that are so ridiculous that you know that any eighth grader would make a different decision if they were trying to be fair. Some of the issues are so simple. You know, some of them aren't that simple. But so I'm very worried about Christopher.
Well, but listen to the simplicity of this. They arrested him for resisting arrest. And, of course, you and I both know there has to be a reason why they would arrest somebody in the first place. Resisting arrest is not a reason to arrest somebody.
Of course, you got to. What are you resisting? And
you have to resist something to be arrested in the first place.
Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And I've suggested to this minute that in order to avoid getting mugged in the dark, I wish that Christopher Bolin or someone else in Chicago would get on the ballot right now so that we can raise money and carry ads in Chicago telling people what's happening. Because I'm afraid what they want to do is put Bolin in jail for some time. And then, depending on how strong they feel, is who knows, as you just said very, very correctly, once they get somebody in jail who they want to persecute, who knows what happens from there, you know. So the way to do that is for, in my opinion, is, and of course he's got to make his own calls because his neck's on the line. He should get on the ballot, then that will spread throughout Chicago, throughout everybody in this case that, do we really want to fight this thing in the public? Because what I would say, the commercials should say over the major radio stations there or even TV if money can be gotten is, there is a man in jail for having exposed the Zionist part in 9/11, and that is why he is in jail. He didn't do anything. This is the proof of it, or something like that. And then they don't want to fight that one out in public. Anyway, that's my feeling.
That might be something that would work. And since we did get some hackles raised in the last time we tried that, it wouldn't be a bad concept to put forward. I do want to go back to the issue of abortion for a second. And I only want to go back to it as a issue that where mudslinging always erupts. And I want to say this is my position on it. I'm an anti-abortion. I think it's murder. But my point is that I'd like to make is that I think at this point in time, with the country slipping into a full tyranny as it is, that's an issue that's just divisive rather than getting the bigger picture issue, which is stopping these people from placing themselves in full and thorough control over every element of our government more than they already are, so that they can act with complete impunity. And I'm thinking that one should be placed on the back burner until we can get some traction on getting back in control of the very levers of power.
Well, the issue I focused on from 1972 when I was 19 years old until about 1989, 1992, somewhere in there, was abortion. Now, this is where the people with different worldviews have different approaches. I have put it on the back burner only because the leaders of the pro-life movement in the United States are so treacherous. They may as well be called pro-lifers for abortion because they always play right in it. Not all of them, but the big ones, the big groups, like Right to Life and other of the big groups, they always play right into the hands of the powers that be. They are, in effect, they may as well be a branch of Zionism or what I call Judeo-Masonry because in some instances. And that's why, because it's so, the average pro-lifer has proven to be so stupid in the United States on all the issues. So I've tried to broaden the bigger picture. I will say this, and we may touch on a few things like this in this show. I don't believe any country is going to throw off the evil forces unless they also protect the unborn and their posterity. I don't believe God will bless that, and so I never compromise when it's brought up.
Well, no,
but,
I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm thinking
no, I know
is
you're,
that,
I know you're yeah. not, but my point is these, I wanted to tell you one other thing that before it slips my mind on the stupidity. Oh, one of the congressmen is named, and I'm glad I can say this somewhere because I'd like to go wring the guy's neck. I've known him. He might or might not remember me, but I saw him talk 20, 30 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. His name is Representative Christopher Smith. Christopher Smith, a Republican from New Jersey. He has been very solidly across the board for the right to life of unborn children and even people after birth who, you know, as well, who might be under attack. But he is one of the ones that introduced this hate crimes bill, and also introduced the, so-called Office of Anti-Semitism under the, sodomite, Zionist Greg Rickman, who was put in charge of this group that is now scouring the world for quote anti-Semitism, meaning anybody that speaks up in opposition to the top Zionist agenda, you know. And incidentally, Rickman's, what do you think his, but now think of everybody out there, think of the budget of maybe a group you're associated with, and maybe the budget is $2,000 a year or $30,000 a year, it's a big one. The budget for this that Bush and Congress gave this Rickman for his scouring the world for enemies of Zionism, $180 million, Daryl. So anyway, the point is, but Chris Smith, who's one of the leading pro-lifers, representative of congressman from New Jersey, is so dumb on the overall picture that he's actually trying to put weapons in the hands of the enemy to persecute. And I know he thinks he's doing it because he thinks he's helping the victims who were persecuted in the past. I know that's what he thinks.
I don't believe that for a minute. In fact, I staunchly will fight that whole concept. In fact, anybody today, anyone, especially people who are in the political mainstream, have absolutely no excuse for not understanding the dynamic behind all of these problems we face. And this man, Chris Smith, is certainly not an exception to that fact.
Well,
Jimmy, this is one of the reasons why Eric had a statement about what I introduced in the beginning was a problem with some of the, we call them on this article useful idiots. The Zionists have the useful idiots. And of course, when we took a look at certain people like the loose change video and all this, these people get on airwaves today still, and they will absolutely fight with terrible venom the idea that Israel had any part, its Mossad had any part to do with 9/11, that the Israelis had anything part to do with it, and yet people still support the idea that that's a good video. And some people use the excuse that, well, it wakes people up for the first time, or it introduces them to the information. They use that same excuse for Alex Jones. They use that same excuse for Jack Blood. They use that excuse for RBN Radio. And in fact, when we go down the list, that excuse is used more often than any other to excuse people for not understanding the fuller picture. And I'm here to tell you today that fuller picture is easy to understand. It's always been easy to understand. And I'm wondering why it is that people can still align themselves with people who are marginally or fully acting against our best interests when it comes to the criminal Zionists that are running everything.
Okay, well, let me say two things to that. One is, I know people on the grassroots level across the United States, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is a fraction of them who understand or will speak out on this issue. Now, there is some that understand that won't speak out for fear. There's others who are on the other side pretending to be on the side of those fighting these criminals. And then there is, but on the grassroots, I'm telling you, the dumbness, the unwillingness to face this, the ways people find to rationalize it because they've been brainwashed all their life is not always done by people who are malefactors. And most of the time I find them to just be, what I said, dumb. Now, it might be better if we talk specific instances on alliances and what is defined as an alliance. So let me address the loose change thing for a minute. Now that I found out that, and I'm glad, and this, I'm very glad that Eric is doing this type of research, because he is one of the few that is bringing, at least I'm finding out stuff from what he's doing. Loose change, when I found out that I believe all three young men, they're 22, 23 years old, or they were when they put it together, they're all Jewish, right? They're all...
Yes, and one of the people that is really...
I should say all Zionist Jews as well.
Yes, but worse than that, one guy that didn't have anything to do with the original portion of it came in as the spokesperson of the other two. In other words, the two originals have now been marginalized into the background as soon as this thing got traction, and this third guy, Burmis, who was really not part of the original documentation or the documentary, has now become the main driver of this, and he is a very practiced a battler on in person, and he will, you know, and he will try to slime, to demarginalize, to insult, to I mean, it's amazing how practiced he is at the art of covering up his positions.
So let's both conclude here, and I agree with this, that video was put out as a limited hangout to prevent people from grasping the whole picture, which actually is what the John Birch Society ended up doing all these years.
Well, that's exactly right.
They have a limited hangout on many, many good exposés. In fact, I learned about the vote fraud problem, computerized vote fraud, for the first time from an article in American Opinion magazine by Dr. Susan L. M. Huck in 1977. But she, I think, was a good person. They have to have a lot of good information to hook people in. But they would immediately fire people from their group and kick them out if they ever said, hey, gee, this one, you know, this Zionism thing appears to be a part of this conspiracy. You're out! That's what the John Birch Society did instantaneously over the years. And in the original decade I had heard of them, I was still kind of hesitating and trying to figure out what was going on. Now, let's go back to loose change. So let's concede here that I will say, let's agree that that was what they were doing. They were doing a limited hangout. Until 9-1-1 Mysteries came out, though, I can tell you that I showed that video on the internet to my own kids and to several young people. In every case, they switched from saying, as they watched the video, they switched from believing the official story to believing that this was an inside job. I then told them, here's the whole story, and they were ready to believe the whole story. Now, so I used that video at that time a few times for that reason. Now, once 9-1-1 Mysteries came out, then that is the only thing I've used.
Have you ever seen Eric's video called "Painful Deceptions"?
I have seen it, and Eric's is very good. But I don't want to, you know, it's like I don't want to insult Eric's video because I don't want to insult my own video on the Hitler Zionism connection. But both his video and my video are not the entertainment value of
9/11 Mystery. Yeah,
Loose Change and 9/11 Mystery. Eric and I would say are more teachers than rabble rousers. We're more teachers than I'm not patting myself on the back too much. I try to be a teacher. My demeanor is that of a teacher. I'm not a rabble rouser. I'm not an entertainer. But same with Eric. His demeanor is that of a teacher. You have a little more showbiz, Daryl, and that's why I say you're the most effective talk show host in the world that I'm aware of on getting people feeling that we can do something on these issues, because many of these people, not all of them are on the other side, but they induce a paralysis. Now let me say this, though. I guess what I want to say here is we got to apply the same standard. This is, and I always have this fight with people inside the traditional Catholic movement who's trying to work for to explain and to help the crisis that's in the Catholic Church. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of people who don't agree, and they go into different corners of the room and factions start to question each other's motives. I don't mind questioning each other's motives. I don't mind people question my motives. I didn't take any personal assault at what Eric said, and I don't feel that there's any reason why, as in the past, he and I can't work together on things, even if we don't agree on exactly everything. But I just want in the religious, the political, the same standard across the board for everybody. Now, 9-1-1 Mysteries also did not finger the main issue. And I don't remember, Eric has several videos out. I don't believe that the painful, is it Painful Deceptions or Painful Questions, whichever the video is, and the book, that did not figure the main issue. So my only point is, and I'm not questioning Eric's motive.
Well, actually, he did it back in 2002, so the idea that Zionism was behind it when he made it was not fully brought out into the mainstream at that point. So
Okay, but my only point is, if I wanted to apply the same. Now, I agree that Loose Change is a malefactor. I do not agree that 9-1-1 Mysteries is a malefactor. I don't think you do either. But on the other hand, they did not hit the issue. So I'm figuring, well, they felt this was as far as they could go with the first issue. They're planning another one, I think, called Who Benefits. But my point is, I will still use 9-1-1 Mysteries, and they do hint at it pretty strongly in 9-1-1 Mysteries when they have Larry Silverstein as such a central figure. But they don't really come out and say it. And I don't believe that Painful Deceptions even touched on it. In fact, Eric very kindly sent me his book, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think I have a copy, and then he sent me another copy. And Eric, I got to say this. I want people to know this who are detractors of Eric Kochman. He sent me multiple copies. I think in the range of 30 copies for free, which I still owe him some $60 for. I think I said I wanted to pay for the last batch. Of 911 Mysteries. Eric also helped me 5 hours one night. We were on the phone when I could not figure out how to get up the video that raised the money for the radio ad campaign and raised the money for the commercials we put on for Christopher Bullen up in Chicago. He worked with me, actually pinpointed the problem, which was with my ISP, believe it or not. I had to call my computer, my internet supplier, and they had me dumbed down to less than dial-up, and that's why we were having trouble getting it up. So, but the point is, we did get it up that night with much weeping and wet and gnashing of teeth. So I have to look at these, and some of the other people you may look, I've got to look at across the board, but I'll tell you one reason I did not get back to Eric in 2002. Wasn't that I thought he was a bad guy. Wasn't that I didn't think the book looked really detailed and on point. But I looked quickly through it. I didn't see any mention of the Zionist factor. And therefore, I said, well, I'm not down on this man. But on the other hand, I'm focusing on trying to bring out the Zionist factor. And my experience, Daryl, is that there is almost nobody in most of these issues. I mean, if they're already doing it when I meet them, that we might agree on one issue. There's almost nobody who recognizes the value of, for instance, the Precinct Project, how we should be organizing in the United States, or, for instance, why, if the other side is counting the votes on computers, then all our political efforts are in vain. That's politics 101. But I've found now that I just keep going forward, making alliances the best I can, usually they're temporary alliances for a radio show or something, with a few people, and trying to bring out these truths, because I find that almost no one changes their focus. It's very rare for me to talk to somebody who will then do what you and Eric did in this case, and that is say, hell, wait a minute, that Precinct Project and that computer vote fraud, that's a key part of the puzzle. You two immediately recognize it. Christopher Bullen, I know on the vote fraud, has been working on that for years. But that is very rare, even of people of goodwill, that they can see what's going on.
Well, let me give you an example of another person in this movement who has used a useful idiot as part of his research.
Okay.
A couple of them. I'll give you two.
Okay.
We had the people over at Nolo Jobs Forum that was still putting up the American Spectator, which is the John Birch Society publication.
No, you mean the American Spectator is a neocon publication. You're thinking of, that's Emmett Terrell. I think you're thinking of, how about New American?
The New American, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was still promoting this on his site, and he was supposedly a convert from the Northern Louisiana, his NOLO Jobs means Northern Louisiana John Birch Society, and then
yeah.
In 2004 he switches it to No More John Birch Society from whatever, I don't know, he used the same acronym, but he still continued the same alliances, and he still continued to use the same publications and the same promotional stuff. So we saw only superficial change and the same nonsense in the background. Another guy named Rye Dawson. Now Rye Dawson is a mid-20s or late 20-year-old guy from Japan, I believe, who is a foul-mouthed, vulgar young man who spends most of his time using expletives to engage people in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And as a spokesman for trying to enlist people into the facts, I believe he's an anathema. But here's the thing that I had with him. He was using research and important information from a guy named Scott Ritter. Now, Scott Ritter, back in 2001, just before the attacks on the World Trade Center, was pulled over by local police in northern New York. Now, again, after having seen what happened to Bullen, you just can't, on the face of it, automatically assume he wasn't set up.
Yeah.
However, what did happen that day was that he was finally arrested. He was suspected of it earlier and then finally arrested. Mugshots were taken. He tried to solicit, I believe the second time was a 13-year-old girl that he tried to get to visit with him at a Burger King. They arrested him, mugshotted him. And lo and behold, from the Northern District of the Justice Department, they get involved. The Federal Justice Department goes into a state case. in New York, Finger Lakes District, mm-hmm. goes into a state case and has his records sealed.
Yeah.
Now the feds, and the person who went up to seal his records was none other than Mr. Chertoff.
Right.
Who was in charge of the northern New Jersey area at that time, and of course his region extended all the way up into the New York area.
Yeah, and that's
now interesting. Now let's go further. People that I had talked to long ago told me that this guy was running back and forth from Iraq when he was the inspector over there, directly to Herzliya in Israel. Now I didn't have documented evidence on that. I had circumstantial evidence on that. But the last and final straw was he was going around the country as late as 8 to 10 months ago, saying that 19 hijackers were the people who brought the airlines into the World Trade Center. Now this guy. Rye Dawson, who's getting a lot of traction with Rivero, getting a lot of traction with Alex Jones and others, is using a man who is up until 8 or 9 months ago was saying 19 hijackers did 9/11.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I said to myself, okay, can we excuse these kinds of alliances? And the answer is, if Rye is actually an honest broker for facts, then he needs to back off that kind of connection immediately.
You're talking about Scott Ritter.
Yeah, he needs to drop Scott Ritter right as a hot potato.
Let me comment for a second on Scott Ritter and Christopher Boland's incidents. I watched very carefully because Ritter was at that time one of the few people saying this war is going to go badly. We're going to end up leaving with our. This is before they invaded, and he seemed to be a spokesman for sanity. He was getting on national TV and lengthy interviews, which is something I don't think that most of us would be allowed to do.
That's right.
Your voice was on. Paul was on for 3 seconds.
Yeah, as an anti-Semite.
And they didn't name you. They didn't give anybody a clue where to go for your website while they put up these absolutely ridiculous websites to try to have people go to them to be disgusted and discredit the research into 911. But at any rate, but I watched very carefully. I was watching the cable shows. Ritter did not do what Christopher Boland did. He never came on camera and said, these charges are false, I was framed, and they're out to get me because I'm opposing the policy over there in the Middle East that the Bush and the Zionists are doing. Of course, he never mentions that I know of Zionists.
Well, in fact, Jimmy,
let's contrast that with what Christopher Boland and his wife Helgi did. They immediately came out, blew the whistle that the whole, and told the story from day one that they, what would happen to them, they were framed, they were innocent. So right there to me is a distinction between someone who is acting like normal people would act, namely Christopher Boland, and acting like they are part of at least blackmailed, namely that's how Scott Ritter was acting when you.
Well, but listen to this. Would you ever allow somebody to seal records when you're being charged with a pedophilia?
I guess the only two times you would do that is if you were guilty, or if you were guilty of what, at least going as far as they said, or if you were under death threat. I guess that's the only two times someone.
Well, that's right. I mean, if somebody's got a gun at your temple, you might acquiesce. But my point is,
what they mainly do is say we're going to kill your kid, and not by then. I'm not saying that happened in Ritter's case. I'm just saying that that is possible. But go ahead, yeah.
Well, now, my point is this. Now, Rye Dawson...
Well, let me say one other thing. There's something that refutes, though, that happened to Ritter. And you know what it is?
What?
He's still got the... He's still doing the same act as he was doing before the charges came.
And that is like paving the ground for people to accept the next phase.
Yes, exactly. Because as Carol Valentine said in her one of her articles, I think she was talking about Justin Raimondo of antiwar.com.
Yeah.
And she said... slyly justifying the war on Islam, and anyone who is pushing the discredited evil fairy tale that the Arabs did, any Arabs were the main movers behind 9/11, as opposed to maybe a few of them caught up in the sting operation. They are basically they're encouraging the average American to think, well, it's them or us. We may have to nuke them. I mean, that's what they're trying to get in the. And I think they do have at the moment in many Americans' minds that they have to accept anything that Bush does against the United States military does against the Arabs because of they might nuke us if we don't nuke them or something.
Well, there's an important concept I want to get back to, and that is I want to bring up this guy Dawson again because he may in fact think he's doing an honest job of investigating. This is not something that I have any evidence to the contrary, except to say that these alliances and these kinds of use of people like that are going on to shows or working with people who are clearly on the wrong side of these issues. Is it that he just got it wrong and he's become a useful idiot, or is it that he is a bad guy? Now, do we have time to pull through and look through every single one of these people and find out if he's just a dupe or just a useful idiot, or is the fact that he's using these people no accident? And so my point is this. There are some people that have found their way to your front page on 24/7 and other places that we feel have been working with the white supremacy crowd either directly or covertly or indirectly, that are going to be used at some point in the future to marginalize our message and try to hang the moniker of anti-Semite by association here, and guilt by association. Now, here's the interesting thing. These white supremacy organizations like Stormfront and the rest of them that are very dear and near to some people in the alternative press, such as Mike Piper and the rest, he gets a lot of his support from this, from the people who are following this kind of stuff. Those organizations are shill organizations constructed and completely mobilized by Southern Poverty Law and Zionist Jewish money. There is no Nazism in America. The only Nazism in America is what they've been able to foment. And these groups are false flag places where people can be brought to, and then the Zionist press can point to and say, look, we need hate crimes legislation. Look, there are crazies out there. There are militia nuts out there. Look at this. And this kind of stuff, when people that are involved in those programs, are they useful idiots or are they working for them? I don't care whether it's one or the other. In my view, they need to be marginalized. Right. They need to be marginalized, in my view.
Okay, be specific on my homepage, which is realnews247.com. Who is made it?
Well, no, but a guy named Fields, a guy named Glenn, Piper. I mean, Michael Piper is the biggest one I can come up with.
Okay, well, none of the that I'm aware of, none of these, and again, I'd be glad to discuss each one of them individually, but that none of them have ever been on my homepage that I know of. The closest thing that we have in Real News 24/7 to something that someone could say, hey, what are you doing there, is we have a copyrighted article up that is linked as one article on our Who Runs the Media. And that is from the National Alliance, which is a group that is still promoting the 9-1-1 fairy tale. But the article they have with pictures on who is running the United States media is, it's not better than the other ones out there. It's by far the best in documenting with pictures who's doing it. There's nothing in second place. So we put a disclaimer, a whole page disclaimer on that we do not support the group. But at this point still, I don't have something to replace that, which I would rather have from another group. Now, I'm running through life. You and a few of the people that listen to your show pointed out to me a short time ago that we still had Loose Change up on our homepage at Real News. We didn't have 911 Mysteries. Well, I haven't even looked down that homepage since 2006 and when the campaign started and when a lot of this spurred up and when 911 Mysteries came out. 911 Mysteries, the Christopher Boleyn arrest, both happened right as I was getting that campaign going, and I immediately switched to do a commercial on each one of those because I thought the issues were so important. But my point is, as soon as they pointed that out, I went ahead and I still have Scholars for 911 Truth up, which was,
oh boy,
an effective thing to mention originally, it appeared, because there was no voices against the official story. But anyway, as soon as that was pointed out, I went in there and changed them to the, but outside of that one thing, which I have been hit at by a number of people, some of whom are just trying to discredit me, which is not on our front page, but it is linked to a page that then goes to that as one choice with a disclaimer before it, that we're not in favor of any idea. I mean, my position is that every individual is a creature of God, and every individual in the the soul of each individual, the part that I believe and most people that believe in religion believe survives our physical body into eternity, that all those souls, if you will, or spirits are of equal value in God's eyes, whether it's some illiterate black kid running around in Africa who is 2 years old and they're just running to stay alive, or whether it's the smartest student at the University of Chicago or whatever, the soul of the person and is of equal value in the eyes of God. So I've never, no one could go back through my history and say, hey, he was once in the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi, he was once in this, because I always came out of the gate with the same worldview. I mean, I've developed it over the years as I ran into Father Dennis Fahey and some other people, and can articulate it better now than I could in the 1970s. But I always had the same worldview. So again, I think that's the only. Now, but go ahead. Go ahead.
One of the problems we've had is because the network out there, the people who linked each other, such as the Rents people and the Alex Joneses and they've got a very powerful media footprint.
Yeah. And let me say, I agree with, I mean, all these pop-up people, Jack Blood, that's got to be a fake name. There's many of them that appear to me to have fake names.
Victor his name's John Clayton.
Victor Thorne was one that you say, and then you find out, well, no, his real name's Scott McCoofka, and he dropped his mask and, I guess, destroyed himself as well when he came out against Boleyn the day after Boleyn was abused.
But listen, he's working hand-in-hand daily with Michael Piper.
Is he?
Every day.
I thought McCoofka was out of the picture now.
Working every day with Mike Piper.
Well,
and I can tell you right now, he is active on the forums discrediting Eric and I.
Okay, well, I will say this, that I believe that Scott McCoofka is a bad actor, is from outside the movement. Now, I mean, it's not sincere in what he's doing, and the reason is because of the vicious attack on Boleyn the day after it happened. Now, if I were arguing, if I were in a courtroom and I was putting the American Free Press and...
Mm-hmm.
The Willis Carto and those, and I had to cross-examine them, one of my key lines of questioning would be, why have you abandoned Boleyn in this moment when he is in danger of being put in jail?
Well, they've said, now wait a minute, hold on, they've said that it was because he did bad research, but the truth was, they demanded he drop his alliance with Smith and Upschmidt. And he said, wait a minute, I'm not going to drop my alliance with Eric Upschmidt because Eric's work is wonderful. He's done a great job of researching, and more often than not, he's spot on.
Let me respond there, though. Was that before or after Eric came out and said that AFP was a front for Zionism?
Before and after.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'd like to get the exact timeline there, because that, if it's before, that's more suspicious. Once you accuse somebody, and I could do a line of questioning against Willis Carto and Mike Piper for this incident on Boleyn and the fact that they see, even if Boleyn came out and said,
why is Piper working with McCoofka still today, every day?
Well, I mean, I don't know for sure that. I will guess this, though. I will tell you that I think that we have to leave open as a possibility that some of these people, Mike Piper is basically a writer and researcher, and Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review is basically a writer and a researcher. If these folks have their livelihood dependent on what they've been doing for 20 years, and now you have all kinds of bad characters surfacing in their operations, which I think is the case, and I think also these groups look like they're compromised now. They look like they are within a playpen that someone has drawn for them, and they can't go outside of it as far as certain things, as far as action goes. Then you're going to have some people who are caught up in it, who, because their livelihood depends on it, are maybe not going to say a lot. Now, I can't read the motives of everybody. I can just say that I have to also trust. And first of all, if we define alliances, and I think I mentioned this to you in an email recently,
mm-hmm.
I don't have alliances except hit and run alliances. I've been forced to be a lone ranger cooperating with lone rangers, one, due to lack of resources, and I don't mean I'm not crying that I've lived a hard life or anything, but I mean I don't have I don't have, you know, even tens of thousands of dollars, or like today, even tens of dozens of dollars to do what I would like to be doing and to move what I would like to be doing. So, and also, but I found out too, I cannot submit to the party line of any of these other groups, for one reason or another, you know. So, so my alliances, as I said, with people usually amount to talking to them two or three times a year. I have been on Mike Piper's radio show, and I have to say the times that I was on, I think they were great radio shows like this. I think when Mike Piper was on your radio show, which I've downloaded many of the radio shows you have done since you've broken away independent, and the first one he did with you is a tremendous radio show for people to be educated. Let me say one other thing there. I'm not defending anyone that in any way that I haven't known for 15 or 20 years. Now, that does not mean we were best friends, that we spent hours together. No. But I've watched them for 20 years, and they are consistent. Now, at this time, though, since 9-1-1, the heat is on the opposition. In other words, the heat is now on to co-opt every real opposition and neutralize them, if possible, discredit them. So if people have skeletons in their closet, now's the time they're going to be brought forth, and I think we're seeing a lot of upheaval. And therefore, I'm keeping my eyes open. I'm not, I don't mind people questioning my motives, because they have to. I mean, who would I be to say, now listen, look at everybody else, scrutinize what they're doing, don't look at me because I'm above reproach. I mean, this is ridiculous. But the heat is on, and remember something else here when we're talking about these alliances. I can't remember the exact month, but it was right after I had been kind of dormant with regard to all of the quote patriot movement. I've been doing my own thing, but I hadn't been brought in. I was brought in when Christopher Boleyn called me and asked me to do a radio show with him and Eric Hushmite, and it was on vote fraud. And I met a few weeks before this thing happened in Chicago with Christopher. And Christopher was guest hosting on the Mike Piper show. So here I am thinking, gee, two guys I really have admired.
I had already had you on before that, though.
No. I was on your show shortly thereafter, which I was grateful because Eric, I think, then told you about that we had been on the show together. And so, so then I'm thinking, well, here's two guys whose research I really admire, and Mike Piper helped us, with the vote fraud issue back in the 80s. And then a week later, everybody's at each other's throats. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is guilty, because sometimes one party's guilty now, but that's 6-8 months ago now. So I have to go at my own pace to evaluate who I think is of bad will, because, you know, I have another realm of experience in the traditional Catholic movement, okay? And I'll use this as an example, okay, if you don't mind. I'll just use a real quick example to show you how I have to do my thought processes. And that is, for a long time, we have said, let me just be somewhat general on this, there's a faction of us who said, no, the Zionists have a big paw in the Vatican, and actually we even say that they have a tremendous influence there. And there's people that fought us on this in effect for years.
Yeah.
Then, like 10 years later, and I speak at conferences with them, would speak on things where we could agree on the conference. I would kind of just talk about what they asked me to talk about, not go into everything. And then just in the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a steady march of people who finally said, okay, you have diagnosed correctly what is happening in the crisis in the Catholic Church, and we were wrong all these years. So I think we're going to see some of these people break away. Some of them may not. But my only point is, when I suddenly see a bunch of new what I think to be malefactors prop up who look like malefactors, like Scott Makovchka, and they've been doing a lot of favors for people that I've seen for 20 years, which is what he was doing for Piper, incidentally. He was publishing his book and all this kind of stuff. Then the guy, someone like Piper, is in the middle. I don't say I justify everything that happens, but I'm saying I can't say, oh, wait a minute, I now think that Piper and Cardo from the beginning were on the other side. I believe more their operations, and maybe them, are under tremendous duress, or at least they're within a framework, that they're not going to go outside the lines. I don't generally go and try to, I mean, I can't do anything about that. I just keep moving forward with my program, and I'll tell you what I think is the best way to smoke out who's who, is as we get this this precinct thing rolling in the next month, God willing, it's going to finally be up, and as we get that going, we're going to see all kinds of people in the United States pulling their mask off, because they're going to have to start telling people, do not do this, because the other side fears greatly grassroots people all over the country going at the county organization in each 3,000 counties, instead of just writing their congressman who's bought, paid for, blackmailed, and put in by computer vote fraud. And Daryl, here's what I would say to someone who suspects my motives, okay? And Eric brought this up on the last show. It's a fair question to raise. He says, what's going to happen to all these names of people that maybe say, I'm going to get involved in the precinct system in my neighborhood, in my county? Well, every group that I know hoards their names, just about. I don't know if there's any group I can think of that doesn't hoard their names. And to all these groups right now, I'll say again, save the country. I mean, you'll still get donations for your group, but put our people in touch with each other. And you may remember, to answer that concern of what's going to happen to these names, on our website, everyone is going to be public. I'm not trying to be a gatekeeper. I'm trying to set something up where everyone can email and talk to each other. Everybody's name, at least their screen name, is in the on the public board. I'm going to encourage people to put their real name, because this is the time for, but if they want to just put their screen name, like a Patriot or something, then they can email back and forth to anybody else, any part of the country, because I'm trying, now I know we're going to have some malefactors in there, but I'm trying to put together the average person at the local level to form an alliance under a coalition that is on our side and is not controlled by the other side. Which,
well, it's been our experience, as soon as you open up things to a forum-type environment, you're going to see a crap storm that you didn't expect, and it's going to be, and I'll give you a good example. There isn't a single forum out there worth a pee hole in a snowbank, such as the Liberty of Forum and Ryan Dawson's Forum and Nolo Jobs and Opposing Digits, and down the list, every one of them is an infiltrated nest of nonsense.
Keep in mind, and I agree with you, that I've looked at these forums, and it seems like Carol Valentine told me in 2002, one out of three people on the internet are paid by the CIA or the Mossad to goof up the internet. Eric said, well, try 90%. But our situation is not going to be is mainly going to be people organizing with each other in their neighborhoods. Now, so I don't know what choice we have, though. The purpose is not to carry on lengthy debates, although I guess some people could do that. The purpose is to allow people who want to do what's right by the country right now to get in touch with each other and go to their precinct meeting. Now, if somebody turns out to be a malefactor, and their main goal in there is to say, no, don't look at Zionism, we're going to red flag them and expose them. They'll be exposed on the forum, God willing. But the main purpose is to organize. I don't know what other choice we have. You know, this is like the charge that everybody who's organizing is gathering names so that it can be handed over to Homeland Security so that we can all be rounded up.
Well, I mean, if we succumb to that kind of fear starting out, I mean, we're already lost before we start.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know what, if somebody's got a better idea, I'm willing to listen to it. I'm just saying, if tens of thousands of Americans simply get aimed at the precinct and so forth, I think we're going to be, I think that the other side is going to be jumping out of their skin with worry, and I don't know, and I know we're going to have some malefactors. We'll have malefactors who rush to the front and try to organize in various areas. I know this is going to happen, but I don't know what other choice we have than to try to give the good people, point them in the right direction, first of all, and secondly, to give them a chance to understand that the Democrat and Republican, and you can name a lot of others, networks, are under the control of this same Rothschild Zionist gang at the top. And then the way they stay in control is they dole out goodies to the state and local leaders who the type of people who are in power right now in the United States, and I guess in other countries, are the kind of people that want to be they want goodies. They want they want their career is going to climb. They've read Success Through Positive Mental Attitude, and they're going to willing to give anything up to advance their career. And this type of shallow person is who gets the goodies, and that's how we are facing this structure of people, even at the local level, in almost every area of the world, that is obstructing progress. So we want to have a network, which, God willing, that will have the honest people will have a chance to be in a network that is not controlled by these people, even though we know we're going to have infiltrators. And the more strong it gets, the more infiltrators will attempt to disrupt. But we got to try to preempt that by telling people in advance what to watch for, you know. So,
well, you know, Jimmy, the bottom line here is that we have remained constant in our numbers. And I've done a far fewer audio files because I've had some serious health concerns. And but we're still between 8 and 12,000. In fact, recently we went up to 11,000 for a day. And then other days we're down to 8. But we almost never fall below that. And you know, here's the thing. We're not growing. The core listener is not only, 4 out of 10 of them aren't from North America. They're from Europe right now listen to my show. But the simple truth of the matter is that more people need to know this information, but the people who are obfuscating or in some instances playing the role of useful idiot are really pulling people away from us. It's been effective, huh?
I understand that. I mean, it's amazing you're keeping up those numbers. I understand that, and again, I would say to people who, even if in AFP, if they said, hey, wait a minute, Bolin is supporting somebody who's saying we're Zionist fronts from the beginning and this is baloney, which I do think is a charge that's too far, but I don't know if we want to discuss that or not. But I would say to them, if Christopher Bolin, for instance, called me up and said, I think you're a phony, I think your commercials were just to, make it look like you're on my side, I think you're going to sell me out, I wouldn't then go to the internet and start bad-mouthing Christopher Bolin. I would write him, I would say, and he didn't say this, but I would say, Christopher, look, let's sit down and talk. Let's look at, you know, if you don't want me to be involved publicly, here's what you need to do. I wouldn't, because, someone makes a charge against me, immediately say, okay, I'm now going to go on the attack against this guy, especially when they were trying to put this guy in jail. And Christopher Bolin, as I think you brought out on the last show, in my judgment, he's standing there for everybody in the world that's truly trying to get the truth out. He is the point man in right now in the United States. If they want to put him in jail as a test case, as maybe they're trying to work out how they do it, they're probably, that's why they keep postponing it. They're probably looking and saying, how can we get a handle on something that'll make it look like it was kind of legitimate that we put Bolin in jail? So anybody that is seeking truth, they should be noticing, recognizing that the attack on Bolin is an attack on every person in the United States and Europe that's still free to tell the truth, and that this crowd wants to shut up, you know. So,
absolutely.
I don't approve of the shunning and dumping of Bolin by the AFP and all the satellites of AFP. This looks like you guys are compromised by the other side. And I'm not saying that privately between me and you. I'm saying it on a radio show that is, I guess, going to be heard in many places.
We came to similar conclusions, and here was the problem. You know, one of the things that came out from research and was not denied by Mike Piper was a propensity for picadillos of homosexuality. Now,
okay,
I don't care.
Hold on 1 second. Just 1 second. I'm probably take a harder stand on homosexuality than you do. I do not believe that there should be a tolerance for public groups that advocate certain things, including homosexuality. However, do I have to make a decision on, I'll tell you, be honest with you, I've been called and I've been told horrible things about you, Eric Huffschmid, Christopher Boleyn. I assume all of them are false, and you haven't even heard me hardly bring anything. I don't think I brought anything up to you.
Oh, but, tell me what they're saying. I'm a one-legged Google monster. Well, what is it? What did I do now?
Well, okay, but let me say that. But let me finish my point first, and I'll tell you. But and this is part of my upbringing, which I thankfully I had good nuns and good teachers. The Catholic morality, which is you don't believe bad things about people unless there's proof. Number two, you don't spread them even if they're true unless it's absolutely necessary to spread it.
Are you missing? See, you didn't let me finish, and let me tell you why I brought this up, because I really don't care if people are gay. What I don't like is people using a deceptive position on homosexuality and still carrying themselves as an important role in white supremacy groups where Piper has a very strong support base, and those groups come out violently against gays. And my point is that the hypocrisy involved in somebody behind the scenes having a gay lifestyle but snuggling up with groups that want to kill gays is offensive to me. Now, I don't have anything negative to say about if somebody's privately acting gay in their home or not. What I have a problem with is the hypocrisy that somebody would say, I'm going to hang out with Stormfront, I'm going to hang out with the Vanguard and this stuff and that stuff, and on their website is the most vile anti-homosexual stuff you could possibly read, and then you being allied to them with certain promotions, certain book sales, certain relationships between you and the people that are working with these people.
Well, you're referring to Piper here, or you're referring to
Piper?
Okay, but which one of these groups is calling for violent acts against homosexuals? I'm not aware of it. I mean,
Read through their forum. What's put on their website.
Now, forums are different than, well, I mean.
No. If somebody were coming out saying the vile stuff against gays on a forum I was running, I would knock them off in a New York second. Here's the problem.
I mean, I assume all these are, I mean, I don't have time to look at these forums. I mean, I assume they're all moderated. Some, I'm afraid ours is not going to be.
But see, my point to you is this is hate mongering, and of course these groups are not legitimate groups. They were set up. They were set up by Morris Dees, and they want hate speech, people to be out there fomenting hate, so that they can turn around and say, "Look, we've got to control this. Free speech is not free." Is what they're going to say.
Yeah, but let me be specific. If Mike Piper, for instance, is aligning himself with a group that is calling officially for violence against sodomites, I would say that is culpable. I'm unaware that that's the case. So I'm just saying, I got to be careful for my own. I got to be careful when I say something. I got to be able to, in my mind, on my website, I got to be able to back it up. Now that doesn't mean you can't raise questions, but in this case, you said, "What did I hear?" I've heard, and I won't say exactly with regard to. Let me just reel out the type of things that I've heard.
Yeah, go.
Okay, one. CIA, a military intelligence agent whose job is to get as many patriots in the United States on the radio in Europe so that they can be picked up when they get these treaties. Two, swingers. I'm not going to say who was charged with anything. Swingers, people that go and have do things with, kind of trade husbands and wives. Three.
Is that me? Me?
No, that was on someone else. Three.
Jeez, I don't know anybody that would want me.
The kind of things I've heard against people that are aligned with you. Homosexual, blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is, and Eric knows, I never once brought, and Christopher knows, I never brought up any of these things, any of you guys.
I'd like you to. Let's clear the air here. I want to hear what this stuff is.
I didn't bring it up because I think it's true or that it deserves discussion.
But give everybody an idea out there what kind of nonsense is being thrown out there and why it's so important that people do defend us, because this is the assault that's being leveled.
These were all personal conversations, but my point is that I have to apply the same standard across the board. I can't just say because somebody throws out. I've seen it put on. I can't remember where now. I've seen it over the years off and on say that Willis Cardo is in that.
It's in the DeGuayo report.
Yeah, I looked at that the other day, and the DeGuayo report has some absolutely astounding errors in it that make me wonder if the person was even in the movement. Now,
I don't say that, you know, if you want, I can go through that and analyze it for you. There's misspellings, and I'm not talking about just misspellings, although there's some of those where you go, wow, how could they have got that name wrong consistently if they really knew what they were talking about? But there's other things that are just completely off base in that DeGrella report.
Which one? Give me one example.
I have to go through it. I just looked through it the other night because I had seen it and I had seen a reference to it, and then I went and looked it up. And I if you want the next show, I can go through that and explain why. If I had seen that in the 70s, I would have said, boy, this just looks like somebody's trying to create division in the movement. I'm not saying it's all false. I'm just saying that there were some glaring problems with the facts that were obviously false. I wondered if the person writing it even was in the movement because of some of the errors.
Well, let me tell you, that report was used against me by Michael Piper right after we had this falling out. He said that I'm Daryl DeGuayo Smith, and that the stuff that was in there was exactly the Comtel Pro stuff that the DeGuayo report puts out, is that proves that I am a guy that but inside the report itself, it said stuff about him. He was using the report to say bad stuff about me, but he hadn't read it.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go through the whole thing, it is a condemnation of the Stormfront Spotlight crowd, and it had nothing to do with me. I could care less.
Well, that was written in the 70s, wasn't it? It was a 70s document.
Liberty Lobby stuff.
I mean, but it was in 1970, so it couldn't possibly. I mean, obviously, it would be absurd to say it attacked you because you've become public.
No. He was using the DeGuayo report, saying the Comtel Pro type of thing that the DeGuayo report describes is exactly Daryl Bradford Smith. And then
he was doing an analogy, in other words.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first person I ever heard say the DeGuayo report was Piper.
Yeah.
And in the damn report at the end is all kinds of stuff about him. About him, but about Cardo.
He's saying that that's false and that the new stuff is false too, I guess. But I'm not saying the whole report is false. I'm just saying that I saw some surprising.
Well, hindsight might be a little bit. I don't know who wrote the darn thing. I mean, I wasn't around when that thing was written, but the simple truth is this, okay? The story is quite simple. If you take a look, listen to our files and look at the stuff we've outed about Rahm Emanuel and about Mullman and about Silverstein and about Walper in California and about the media moguls and about, I mean, the banking system and the Khazarians. I mean, we've gone across the whole spectrum of research. And how can people say we've been on the cutting edge of most of these subjects, and if we didn't introduce them ourselves, we brought them forward from people like Carol Valentine and others, Nesta Webster and Elizabeth Dilling and many others. My point to you is this: where in the heck, except for trying to point out people as useful idiots, have we ever said anything that's not provable? So my point is, if I am a shill, then who am I serving? I don't have any money.
Well, that's why I'm on your show. I don't agree. I think the idea, you know, the idea that the other side would put out a program like this is ridiculous, as to say nothing of the fact that you're guerrilla warfaring them. I mean, if you were on Paul Azan as an expert every week, I might say, hey, wait a minute here.
Or if Coaster was having me on as a spokesman on a Clear Channel radio network.
Who's doing that?
Alex Jones is on Clear Channel's Coast to Coast Radio.
Once
a week.
Sure. No, I think that I am, Alex Jones is another relatively new pop-up, and again, he has tremendous information, but he hides the situation. And I would say, some of this is sensitive. I don't want to I want to keep my respect the situation you're facing over there. But see, some people could say, and this is one reason why I would say I don't believe that it's possible that Cardo is a malefactor when he started. For instance, he helped arrange the Ben Friedman speech, the one that you all promote, that I think it's going to promote. I got a link directly to it on my webpage. Now, Cardo was one of the organizers of that speech in 1961. And secondly, the whole discussion about that subject that they want to put people in jail for, that has, I gotta say that, again, maybe there's deep, dark plans that I haven't figured out yet, but that was, again, the same as your guerrilla warfaring the media with hitting 8,000, 10,000 downloads every program and all that. This is guys that are working with the big media, and I didn't bring that up because I believed it there. I brought it up just to say I got all kinds of charges that I hear up against everybody, and I can't, I got to use the same standard in how quickly I jump to believe them. But if they don't make their people do what you're doing, and that is to use the internet and your guerrilla warfare, but the same way Cardo and the others in the 70s and 80s had to guerrilla warfare them on this issue they want to put people in jail for, because it was only in the 80s and the 90s that the other side began to get worried and started to really panic with what they're doing now, which is putting people in jail, trying to make it so they can prosecute. I've just heard yesterday from one website that 864 people in Germany have been prosecuted in the last 12 months for something regarding some thought crime regarding this issue. So anyway, I'm just saying that was, I would never have heard of that, I don't think. The group that did that was Cardo and his group. So I gotta say, I don't know, it's a strange, maybe there's a deep dark thing I don't see, but even I have my limits of what I can jump to of who's actually a malefactor versus who may be under blackmail or who may be under other duresses that have them appearing to be in a playpen, so.
Well, anyway, we've gone on for over an hour, and I tried to get at least every issue I could think of underway here. I am getting a little bit tired. That happens to me as I blob on for long periods.
Well, Darryl, could I say one other thing?
You can indeed. Why don't you give your information so people can contact you if they wish?
Yeah, they can go to www.realnews247.com. They can email me there. If they're not on the internet, they can. I guess most people are that listen to you, but if they're not, they can write me at Jim Conda Jr. or Real News 24/7 at P.O. Box 11339. That's P.O. Box 11339, Cincinnati, Ohio 45211. But again, realnews247.com. What I wanted to say though, Darryl, was some of this I almost feel like we should be, not that I don't want to discuss things in public, I'm willing to, but some of this I almost feel bad that we're discussing in public, because it's kind of like intramural baseball and could put wrong thoughts in people's minds if they hear just a part of the program. But Eric kind of got shortchanged here. If you want to do another show where Eric can come on and we can discuss, I'm glad to do that. I mean, and I'm going to call Eric off the air. I'm not against doing that at all, because Eric may be chomping at the bit there, thinking he has a bunch of things he wanted to bring up
Well, how about if we do something in the upcoming week, if you'd like? We'll see if we can't put something together with you and Eric having a discussion. And I also and maybe Eric can do it without me even being there. You guys can just have a discussion.
Okay.
He can call you and we can put a file up.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. And I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
With a guy as important as Bolin has been in his research about Flight 93, about the connections to Silverstein, about the airport, about the Lauder family, about Logan, about Odigo, on and on. And how could this organization called American Free Press hang a man like that out to dry when the most important journalist in the country is being lambasted and possibly criminally prosecuted and jailed? And what kind of group would do that?
I agree, and I said that would be my first line of questioning, and the thing that makes it look like they are under duress that has them in a playpen. But I think the best way, if I can try to end it on a positive note for this show for my part, if we push ahead, those of us who are willing to push ahead and can see it, with the Precinct Project, with exposing what's going on, like you're doing on the show, with explaining to people in the countries where it's true, and I don't know the situation throughout France where the other side is counting our votes in secret on secret computer programs, and we can get some traction on all these things, that's the best way to cause people to pull off their mask.
Three major cities in France, at the urgings of the leading candidate, Nicolas Sarkozy, are now using American-made electronic voting machines.
Well, we know that's going to be crooked. Yeah.
We're right behind America, and we've got a guy over here that's going to have me drawn and quartered if he gets the chance. I can tell you that right now.
Is a lot of the population in those three cities?
There's a big population there in the three places they're being used. Over 1,500,000 voters in a country of 44 million voters.
But,
and that's just the start.
Are they still counting most of the votes by hand?
By hand.
At the neighborhood precinct.
At the neighborhood by hand, yep.
Boy, that is a scary testimony to the ability of the major media to brainwash the people. That's
there you go. And it's the same media controllers as we've got in America, just with French last names.
Right.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for coming to our broadcast tonight and listening to what we had to say. I hope I haven't offended anybody overly, and if I've slimed anybody by accident, please don't write me an email. I have no time. No, I'm only kidding. Write me as many emails as you want. You can call me every name in the book. I get plenty of name calling every day, and you know, if I were to tell you some of the things I've read about myself, ladies and gentlemen, but you know something, frankly, I've got a very thick skin and don't give a rat's patootie what you think of me. All I'm doing is my best over here. So until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you to have a great end of your day and be well. Bye-bye now.